So we've never done this before, but we have a guest who is on the space station in outer space, syndicated columnist Dan Walters. Dan, can you hear me? We're in Houston.
Yes, I can hear you. Outer space is the space being defined as Chowchilla, or maybe Bandera.
You know what? You actually sound much clearer than you did when we were just talking.
Well, it's because the sun is now shining, and I can turn off my wipers.
Oh.
It's crazy weather here. It rains very, very hard for, you know, I'm driving down the highway at 65 miles an hour. So you go through a cell, and it's just gully washer, and now the sun is shining. I got to put on my dark glasses.
Well, you know what? Let's chat. You know, we actually were going to announce that Dan will come on next week because the sound quality was rough. And so if it starts to rain again, just don't turn on your windshield wipers.
Okay.
Just stick
okay, we'll try that.
Stick your head out the window. Dan Walters has been a journalist for more than half a century, spending most of those years working with California newspapers. In 81, he started with the state's only, he began writing the state's only daily newspaper column devoted to California political, economic, and social events. In 84, he moved to the Sacramento Bee, where he remained midway through 2017, and he went online to CalMatters, calmatters.org. He's written north of 9,000 columns. Have you hit 10,000 yet?
No, I figure I'm about 92 or 9,300 right now.
Okay, okay. Well, welcome back to Radio Real Estate.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. And you're driving from Sacramento to Fresno to speak to a group of people?
Yes, that's where I'm headed. I just passed through Madera a moment ago.
Well, do me a favor. When you start your speech, ask if there's a Janine Maxwell in the audience, because I knew her.
Okay.
I knew her back in the late 70s in Santa Barbara, and she is from Fresno, and tell her to contact me through Facebook if she's there. So Dan's been writing about somewhat related to what Governor Newsom just did, and that's suing Huntington Beach. There's a state law that requires cities and counties to set aside sufficient land for new residential development, but it doesn't actually say you have to build them. It says you have to set aside the land. And so a lot of cities, because there's a lot of regulations, you know, the housing isn't built. So before all this came down, before the lawsuit, you said something, or did you write it after, something about a larger context of what Newsom is doing?
Well, yeah, it is part of a larger, I guess you'd call it an attack or an assault on California's housing crisis that Newsom is getting up. This is just kind of an opening salvo, if you will. He's basically one of the aspects. I mean, he's putting some more money into housing. He's proposing other things. But one of the aspects is to kind of crack down on localities that are not being sufficiently progressive when it comes to setting aside land for housing and zoning. Now, the state has had housing, so-called housing quotas for cities for a number of years, but there's never been any teeth in them. They just, you know, they're there on the books, and their cities are supposed to do it. They're supposed to amend their general plan and do zoning changes enough to have enough land to meet their quotas. Some have, some haven't, some just ignore the whole thing. And so he's saying, hey, no more of that. We're going to crack down. And I think at the same time he's proposing to do away with the city quotas, per se, and have regional quotas that he claims will be more realistic. But I think it's just a kind of a shot to say, hey, there's a new sheriff in town. You better shape up. You better do this sort of thing. Of course, it's easy for a Democratic governor to sue a very Republican city. We'll see how eager he is to sue some of the more liberal cities that are equally recalcitrant when it comes to embracing new housing. I don't know if that's a bummer or not. But they would include some places like Marin County.
Marin County in Santa Barbara?
Yeah, well, there's probably been a little reluctance, shall we say, to embrace a lot of new low-income housing.
You know, we're now we are experiencing some cell phone difficulty because we kind of missing every other word. Give me a sentence.
Sentence is that cities that the reluctance to embrace low and moderate income housing are in the crosshairs, if you will, by the some of the new government says no, you sure got to do it, and so he's suing Huntington Beach as an example of that new attitude.
Now he just moved.
Yeah. You know, it's something is, I think our cell phone conversation is similar to the housing shortage in California. It's, you know, say something. Now you sound clear as a bell. Say it again.
I say that Governor Newsom is signaling that there's going to be a crackdown on communities that have been begging their feet, if you will, on low and moderate income housing quotas, and suing Huntington Beach is just a sign that there's a new sheriff in town. We're going to do things differently than we've done in the past.
And then you mentioned that, you know, as a Democratic state and Newsom a Democratic governor.
Newsom's a Democrat. Obviously, he's suing a very Republican city in Huntington Beach. The test will come when he, if he quit, he would have the same attitude towards a Democratic or liberal town that also doesn't embrace new housing. Marin County, example, I don't know, Santa Barbara may be another example. But it's certainly true that a lot of upper income, albeit liberal communities, are not really thrilled about having new low income housing, moderate income housing in their cities. And that's the kind of the where the rubber meets the road, because there's where the crying need is in housing for people, working class families.
Now, I don't know if you know the details of the lawsuit, and is it that Huntington Beach is literally not following the state law of changing zoning for housing?
They changed their zoning to comply with state law, and after the state had said, okay, you're compliant, then they changed it again, apparently. I mean, that's the allegation. And took that and then didn't do what they said they were going to do, and therefore inviting the lawsuit to be filed.
The reason why I asked that question is that a lot of people who are on the side of wanting to see more housing claim that, yes, the city or the municipality might zone for housing, but then through other means restrict development.
That's absolutely true. And that's the next stage of this whole thing, not only zoning enough land for housing, but perhaps taking more affirmative steps to build it. And there are other impediments to the problem. We're short about 70 or 80,000 units of housing a year right now. That's what we're underbuilding, so to speak. And a lot of that, an awful lot of it, as a matter of fact, is the fact that the local red tape is a problem, state red tape is a problem. It adds tremendous amounts of money to housing costs or impact fees, that sort of thing. Streamlining the California Environmental Quality Act is another part of the puzzle. And finally, even cities that have been diligent about doing what they're supposed to do are having trouble getting the actual housing built, because there's a great shortage of carpenters and plumbers and electricians in California. Even if everything else is in line, you still need human bodies to build the houses, and we're short. And one of the reasons we're short is people aren't coming here from other states with those kind of trades because they can't afford the housing.
Yeah, so, it's a cyclical.
It's a real issue. Housing is a cyclical business, as you say. And right now, but in the midst of overt prosperity, in other words, very low unemployment, and it's otherwise doing pretty well, we are not building that housing, and that's a long-term basically kind of existential sort of issue for California.
My guess
we
is
don't have the housing, if people are going to be leaving, and they're going back, and they're going to take their skills with them, and so forth.
Sorry, my guest is Dan Walters, syndicated columnist, was with the Sacramento Bee for most of his career and now over at Cal Matters, calmatters.org. What is the bite that the state has? Newsom threatened to withhold state transportation dollars from cities and counties that reject development. Do you have any idea what kind of money that involves?
It's serious money, because this is the money, it's very specific money. It's the money that's being generated by the new gas taxes that were put on last year. And that's money that these cities have been crying for to fix their roads. And he's saying, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, you're not going to get your share of that money that you've been counting on.
But isn't the whole push now, and I was reading something today, that they want to do a lot of traffic calming. They want to eliminate, let's say, a four-lane road to a two-lane road. And maybe with less money for transportation and no money to fix the roads, we'll just have natural speed bumps and it'll be a traffic calming event. So maybe...
Well, it would be a traffic calming, certainly a traffic congestion event. And I get your point. It's a puzzle. I mean, transportation and housing are very closely tied up with one another. Where you build the housing and where you drive to and where you commute from and all that, they're all part of the same puzzle. And cities that aren't meeting their housing goals, I guess the theory is, well, if you're not building housing, you don't need the money to fix your roads. That's simple, I guess, and that's more or less what Newsom said. If they can't do one thing, they shouldn't do another. They shouldn't fix their roads if they're not willing to do the housing. So it's a puzzle. This is going to go on for a time. This is not something that's going to be resolved overnight, if ever. And there's going to be a lot of controversy attached to this whole thing. This is immensely difficult. I mean, just look at what the cost. If we need to build 70,000 more units of housing a year than we're building, the average affordable unit, not a high-end unit, but affordable unit, costs $350,000 to build in California. Do the arithmetic. $350,000 times 70,000, that's a lot of money. We're talking about tens of billions of dollars needed to build every year. You need that every year. And the only way you're going to get that is to attract private capital into the housing market. Government doesn't have that kind of money. They're never going to have that kind of money. They're going to be out there on the fringes, a few billion here and a few billion there, but they're never going to have tens of billions of dollars California needs to build housing, which means you need to make housing a more attractive investment. And as well as, so part of that is you zone the land, you cut the red tape, so on and so forth, and make housing a more attractive investment. That's how the housing crisis will be resolved in California, if in fact it ever is. It's not going to be done by government. Government can just kind of get out of the way and avoid the things that discourage it. That's where we'll get the housing. But, and that means not only state government, but local government as well. But we're short. We're short millions of housing units right now. And it's going to take a long time to catch up on what we need. And I think that, you know, he gives some credit. At least he's dealing with it. He's trying to deal with it, unlike his predecessor, who just kind of shrugged his shoulders.
Well, and everyone before him, because it just seems insurmountable.
It's actually a fairly recent development. We were building 200,000 units of housing 15 years ago in California. It's only been since the Great Recession that things have slowed down. Mm. We were down to as few as 30,000 units a year during the Great Recession. We've kind of struggled up to over 100,000 now, but it's still well short of what we have done in the past, and number one, and number two, what we need to have done. So the potential is there. We've been there before. We've built 200,000 units of housing a year before, and we need to somehow get that back up to that kind of level.
And you're saying in order to do that, make the zoning effective and clear the way, make it more attractive to developers in terms of cost, red right. tape, and restrictions.
There has to be private money. Government doesn't have anywhere near the kind of money it takes to build the housing that's needed, particularly the moderate income housing. It has to be private money. It has to be private investment.
Well, let me tell you.
You have to make it worthwhile.
Let me tell you what I just heard on the radio just by happenstance, maybe even right before you came on. Microsoft is donating $500 million to build affordable housing in the Seattle area. And it's the largest.
The Silicon Valley Consortium just said they're going to put in $500 million?
Excuse me,
$500 million, yes, in the Silicon Valley area. And that's all good, but it's still well short of the tens of billions of dollars that's needed to build housing in California every year. Tens of billions. Do the arithmetic. 350,000 times 70,000. That's the minimum cost of getting up to speed on housing in California every year.
But as you said, we were building 200,000 units back before the Great Recession. The money was coming from somewhere.
It was private money, mostly. Now, we overbuilt to a certain degree, and that's what caused some of the problems. But the capability is there to do it if we make it an attractive thing to do. Now, this doesn't please everyone. There are a lot of people in California who just assume we don't build any housing at all, so people won't. They believe that there's big exit. There's this big, huge people flowing into California from someplace else. No, all of our population growth, virtually all of our population growth right now in California, is the more babies than people die, births over death. Natural increase. You get very little immigration to California anymore. We actually lose more people to other states than we get from other states. So, you know, it's not something if you stop building housing, people aren't going to stop having babies. I mean, or, you know, they're going to die faster or something like that. This is not, we're growing our own population growth now. The days of everybody moving to California are long gone.
My guest is Dan Walters, syndicated columnist for more than 50 years. There was I don't know if he was a representative or what his rank is in the political realm, but he came up with something earlier in 2018 where he was pushing for three-story, four-story homes concentrating around train stations and bus stations.
That's Senator Wiener from San Francisco. He wanted to basically end the ability of local governments to not build housing that's transit-oriented. It's called transit-oriented. In other words, they would get no more red tape for transit-oriented housing. If you could not... They would have a right to build that housing. Jerry Brown actually proposed something like that himself one time, but he never followed up on it. It's called, right to build or something like that. But this thing now has gotten more attention. This idea.
But he got shut down
on the new version of the bill.
Right, but he got shut down, and now he's coming back with a new version.
A new version that seems to have a lot more support, yes.
Well, you know what? A lot of people love Manhattan, New York City, and that's certainly the answer. Just build up, build tall, and this guy wants to allow 3-4-story buildings near train stations within a quarter mile of active bus stops, which seems like it's going to cover everywhere. And, you know, Santa Barbara, you can't really build over two stories for the most part. And I don't know how that's going to fly.
Well, I tell you, it's getting a lot of support, and there is a new sense of urgency in this whole business of housing in California. I think you can really kind of feel it, that the political worm has turned, and that that people are really seriously recognizing things, that the NIMBY movement, which was very strong, and still is very strong in a lot of communities, has given way to the YIMBY movement of, yes, we must build. We have no choice. This is an existential threat. If we do not have enough housing in California, it's going to ruin the economy. It's going to make us a more class-ridden society, more of a have-have-not sort of society, and we just can't do that anymore. We can't have that kind of an attitude anymore. And I think you really detect a really worm has turned situation on that, politically speaking.
And with
a new governor who's really pushing the issue.
And if someone supported that, but they didn't want high density, on the other hand, they don't want urban sprawl. They don't want housing building out and out past the urban boundary lines. So it's forcing to have density and congestion.
It's a puzzle. Transportation and housing go hand in hand. There's just no way to avoid that. And they are going to be politically, they are being politically merged in such things as Senator Wiener's bill, which singles out housing near transit, and they're going to be joined in the legislation that the governor is going to want to try to take transportation funds away from communities that don't do what they need to do on housing. So this transportation housing nexus is going to be very, very prominent in the politics of the situation going forward.
Dan Walters, my guest. We're closing out here. Dan, thank you so much.
And I'm in Fresno.
And you're in Fresno. I'm so sorry.
Fresno.
Don't forget to reach out.
Fresno is a very nice town.
I'm kidding.
Kind of look down their noses at Fresno. By the way, great news. We're going to get nonstop air service again between Sacramento and Santa Barbara. Just announced the other day.
No kidding. And then so
you can't remember the name of the airline now, but it's one of these very small, upstart airlines, and they're going to start doing it. Remember we had it a few years ago?
Just going to go from Sacramento to Santa Barbara. They're not going from Santa Barbara to Sacramento.
No, they've got some other places, too, but one of the services in California is going to be Sacramento.
We're over time, but just to finish up, another thing I read today was that despite all of California's efforts with the, paying a dollar more per gallon and all the cleaner gas and the summer and winter gas and all this, and we buy half of electric vehicles, our gas emissions have gone up over the last 10 years or whatever it is. And so we're headed in the wrong direction there. Whatever we've been doing isn't quite working.
What happens if you have a good economy, you have a recovering economy, people are working more, are driving more, they're going out and eating more, they're doing all sorts of things that require more transportation. So the amount of driving goes up. This is a number that you always should keep in mind about automotive travel in California. $330 billion miles a year, or almost a billion miles every single day.
That's on that note. And you're doing it right now, driving to Fresno. You've arrived to Fresno.
I've parked now. I'm stopped.
You stopped. Well, I got to tell you, I think the next time you come on, you should get in your car and drive around because you sound great. Dan Walters.
All right.
Dan Walters, CalMatters.org. Thanks a million, Dan.
You bet, bud.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was amazing. Before, we were kind of debating. He didn't sound good at all, and then we sounded better, and then so it was his windshield wipers. But that sounded pretty good. Well, I'm glad we got him on. Dan Walters, go to calmatters.org. You can read his columns, many other columns. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. There is a strange lease clause. I reviewed a lease, and it has the most unusual landlord demand clause. And it doesn't, and I'm not a lawyer, it doesn't seem enforceable to me, but I'll tell you about it after the break.